You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Despite general practices representing the backbone of the healthcare system, New Zealand is facing an increasing shortage of GPs, with numbers stagnating or even shrinking as our population increases. As a result, some Kiwis are facing weeks of waiting before they are able to see their general practitioner. Similarly, administrative costs for GPs are ballooning, with many doctors forced to take on a greater number of unpaid hours. A new study has attested to the unprecedented strain faced by general practitioners across six wealthy countries, including Aotearoa New Zealand. However, the study has proposed several whole-of-system solutions to strengthen primary care. To discuss these proposals, I spoke to one of the study's researchers, Professor Felicity Goodyear-Smith from the Department of General Practice and Primary Healthcare.
Oh, kia ora, Felicity. I want to start us off today by getting your summary of the issues you outlined in your piece. Could you give us just an overview?
Primary care is the sort of care you get from your GP or from maybe sometimes your pharmacist, but it's the first sort of care you get, and most healthcare is provided in primary care. So it's where you go with all sorts of concerns and issues, and if things are serious enough, then you end up in hospital or secondary care, but most of it's done in the community. Now, we don't have enough GPs. We have a very stretched workforce. General practice in New Zealand is a private business generally that gets some government funding, but it's not the same as hospitals, which are completely funded by the government. There used to be a lot more GPs for the people, but they're all retiring. They're getting very elderly, and not enough new ones have been coming on board. And the ones that do come on board sometimes only work half-time, so right. You need to have more of them. So what happens in New Zealand, but also in other countries, because this is a crisis throughout the, you know, high-income countries, is that governments will look at this and they'll say, okay, oh, we need to fix this. We will pay for a whole lot more registrars to be trained, or we will pay for some physician assistants to come in and help. And they don't look at the whole system. And so what happens is you get a bottleneck, or you get, it doesn't solve the problem at all. It just looks good for that election cycle. But no one looks at, well, here is the whole system, and what can we do to actually strengthen it and improve it? And rather than just injecting something somewhere and not looking at what the consequences of that are.
Could you go over for us the study that you talked about in your article, the six different countries, and what you found when you looked at their primary care?
We found all of them have insufficient money for primary care compared to the amount of money that goes into secondary care. The money that is used is inefficient. Sometimes things are duplicated. There's not coordination of care. There's no continuity of information being passed between people and over time. And so, you know, a lot of money goes in that actually isn't being particularly well used. The money that is given could be allocated so much more efficiently, so that the money you do have, you could actually have joined up services. You could have a team approach. You could look at the whole primary care system and see what is the best way to strengthen the whole delivery of care.
And there was a report I saw out from the Royal New Zealand College of General Practitioners in 2022, the workforce survey, that found that 55% of GPs are looking to retire in the next 10 years. That's a pretty sizable chunk of the workforce. Is this an opportunity to change, or is it a crisis to face?
Well, I think College of GPs and us academics at the university, we've been saying for probably 15 years this crisis is coming. And we still have GPs in their 70s because they can't find a GP to take on their practice. They keep working. But, you know, it's been a long time coming. We've known it's coming. It's certainly there's more being trained now, and the college is training more. But they, as I say, they're often only going to be part-time workers. And there's still not going to be enough when all this huge cohort of GPs retire. And of course, they're retiring right now, you know.
You spoke about the systemic challenges that it's facing the primary care sector, and that the governments need to be looking more at those structural challenges rather than surface level things that look good at an election. What types of structural changes do you think they should be looking at? Do you think it should be to move primary care into Health New Zealand, into Te Whatu Ora, or is there another idea that you have in mind?
Well, it's a good question. I don't know about Te Whatu Ora, but basically there needs to be some overview made of the whole system. And we have a lot more players now. We have not only GPs can prescribe, but some pharmacists can prescribe certain things. Nurses can prescribe some drugs. Nurse practitioners can prescribe. So there is a lot more people who are providing primary care services. And then within general practices, we have a whole lot of other people like health HIPs or health improvement practitioners and health coaches who are assisting. And all these are good things, but there's no one looking at an overview as to how the whole funding primary care in a way that is joined up. And and possibly we're looking at Te Whatu Ora and GPs on salaries just like every other doctor.
What would the pros and cons of that be, do you think?
Oh, I think there'd be a lot of pros actually, because they would get, they would get all the advantages that the people who are employed like that get in terms of holiday pay and sick pay. And the cons could be that they would lose autonomy and that the secondary care doesn't always understand primary care at all. There could be potentially a loss of practices doing things agilely that they do now. I mean, GPs do an awful lot of things.
Right.
And you wouldn't want to actually stymie that sort of, that flexibility that GPs have.
The independence they get from running their own practice rather than having someone else telling them how to run it, even though they're not involved.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yes.
You've talked briefly about structural changes, different people who can prescribe, nurses that can prescribe and pharmacists that can prescribe, and this idea that more people taking on the workforce in the primary care sector, so nurses with prescriptions, or I've seen talk about physician assistants. There's been some controversy a little bit where some people like them, some people don't like them. Could you give me your understanding of what they are and also your assessment of it?
Well, I mean, it was particularly been a problem in England because they decided there wasn't enough GPs so that they would fund physician's assistants instead. So there's physician's assistants have much less training than a doctor, but they were sort of doing a lot of the same things. And so they funded a lot of these people, put them into practices, and they don't pay them as much because they're not doctors. They don't deliver quite as robust a services, but they actually were doing something when people couldn't see a doctor. But what it meant was that practices were paying the physician's assistants and they could no longer afford to pay GPs. And so there became suddenly a huge number of GPs unemployed because the practices were now absolutely overloaded with all these trained physician's assistants and they couldn't afford to actually have a GP locum. And so the GPs actually stopped being GPs. So this is one of the unintended consequences of putting something in. And I'm not saying that physician's assistants can't be helpful and useful, but there needs to be clear roles and coordination. And I guess one of the other things I haven't said is that when you've got all these new people like pharmacists prescribing, which I think is a great thing, you need to have connected health records. So if a pharmacist prescribes something for a patient, that information needs to go into their health record at the general practice so that the GP knows they've been prescribed that. And there needs to be a coordinated place where all health information can go and really good communication between that pharmacist and that GP. What we have at the moment is a lot of silos. And so we have people working independently, doing little bits. They go to family planning, they get their pill, they go to, lots of different health providers in the community, but there's no one electronic record that can be all coordinated in.
Yes.
And really the role of the GP should be much more of a sort of leading a team, coordinating a team, making sense of the information, but knowing the patient in the full context. So knowing that they're on the pill, knowing that they've been given a drug for gout at the pharmacist, knowing that the pharmacist has done a blood test for that, knowing what the result is. We need a joined up system. That would save a lot of money and also provide so much better care.
Yes, just like I'm sure some people were probably surprised to hear that GPs are generally private practice. Also, I'm sure some of our listeners might be surprised to hear that, yes, health records are not universal. They're not on a system, really. There's sort of whispers of efforts to fix this, to sort of unify health records that are across different databases. And there's also been private practice efforts at doing this, or at least running health records, that have led to a lot of leaks. Is that a risk that's just better to take?
There's been lots of work trying to do this with sort of various government groups put together and disbanded, trying to actually create universal records, records that talk to each other. Doctors pay for their practice management system, where they put their clinical records. And there are several different practice management systems that they choose. One of them, or a couple of them have associated portals, which is where patients can actually go in and make appointments and see their own records and things. And it was one of those portals that actually, where the leak was recently. So it wasn't actually into the doctor's health records, but it was into the portal. But the portal was allowing information from the clinical records sitting in the portal to be accessed. Not all the portals operate like that. Practice management systems are provided by private companies and GPs have to pay for them. They have to get licenses to use them. So it's quite a big expense for a practice to actually have their practice management system and pay for it. So if there was a universal system that actually also talked wonderfully, if it could talk to the hospital IT system as well, which they do have in some countries like UK and Scandinavian countries, then you would have a lot better coordination of information you'd have practitioners being able to work together in a team because they can see what each other's doing.
Have you followed the HERA plan? The plan to launch a shared digital health record by mid this year. Is it something that you followed and are you excited for it?
I'm excited if it really happens. That would be wonderful. I don't know what the reality of it is. I haven't really been privy to that.
Well, perhaps we'll have you back on when that comes out to get your assessment of it.
Yeah.
Hopefully, we'll see some positive changes in this area. Do you have any final leaving thoughts that you want to emphasise, anything you want to emphasise?
I guess I do want to say that, people in primary care are doing a wonderful job. They work really, really hard. It's not an easy job. You've got people coming with all sorts of issues and problems that they have to sort out. It's not like in hospital where you know that they've come in with abdominal pain and they've got appendicitis. It's, primary care is much more about people coming in with everything. And there's wonderful people out there they're doing wonderful jobs. All I'm saying is it would be really helpful for everybody if they had better tools to be able to do it.
That was Professor Felicity Goodyear-Smith from the Department of General Practice and Primary Healthcare at the University of Auckland on the problems faced by general practices and the potential solutions for these problems.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.